series called Doors, and Doors is all over in the Bible. We talked week one about doors we close, excuse me, doors we open in week one, doors we open, and who's the door we open to first? Jesus. Man, best door ever. So we talked about doors that we open. Last week we talked about doors we close. Today I'm going to talk about doors we close and we lock. So, title, Lock the Door, Lock the Door. If you're taking notes, that's your title. I want to start out with a story. I grew up in North Jersey, and I grew up on a street like Weldon Avenue, but they were individual homes, and their backyards and front yards were all yay big, you know. So, but my best friends that lived across the street were Karen and Chrissy. Chrissy was my age, and Karen was, she was in I guess she was a year older than us, yeah. And I'm probably about 8 years old, and I am one of six, so anytime a mom could send a kid out of the house to someone else's house, smart mom, all right? So I'm next door playing with Karen and Chris. And by the way, they had the best snacks at their house. I love going to their house. I mean, things my mom would never buy. It was just so cool. So I'm playing with Chris and Karen, and we're little. We're like 8 years old. And then, you know, by the way, three is not always a good number with kids, because somehow you team up against the odd one. So that's what was going on. So we're all playing really nice, and then Chrissy grabs something from Karen, and she's screaming at us, and we run upstairs into Chrissy's room and lock the door. And we're laughing, just acting just normal kids. And she's banging on the door, open the door, I can't believe you took this from me. And we're just laughing, and she's banging and screaming. I don't know where her mom was, because my mom would have put an end to that. But that's why I like going over to their house. So after a while, we don't hear any banging on the door and kicking the door and screaming at us. And it gets really quiet. So I go, Chrissy, I think we can go. So we open the door and we go downstairs, and there is Karen, and she jumps in and she runs after us, and we're ready to close the door. And what does she do? She puts her foot in the door. She puts her foot in the door, and we couldn't get the thing shut or locked. And I won't tell you, it wasn't good. Wasn't good. It was just kids. Okay. So why am I telling you this story? Because this really paints a picture of how, better yet, what the enemy can do in our life. This paints a picture of what the enemy can do in our life. So I want to tell you, the enemy will try to put his foot in the door of your life. He will try to block the door, get a crack in the door. That's his MO. So what do we do about that? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And by the way, he just needs a crack. Did anybody? Okay, I'm off trouble, but I want somebody. I remember one time we had mice come in our house. Like, what? Of course, I later found out that we left the garage door open. But the next year, I was like, we shut that thing, and we were after, and someone told me mice just need a little crack to get in. Well, the devil looks for a crack. That's all he needs, and he will come in. All right. So let's talk about how that crack gets developed. How that just gets. So we are at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. I'm going to read a very familiar scripture out of the New King James, and then I'm going to read it out of the Living, because it'll go, psh, ready? Ephesians 4, 26, 27. Be angry and sin not, or do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give the devil place. Now listen to this out of the Living Bible. If you're angry, don't sin by nursing your grudge, right? Don't let the sun go down with your anger. Get over it quickly. So he's saying you can be angry, but don't sin. Does everybody agree with me? Did you read that? All righty. Now, here, when he talks about sin, it's sin comes in by a grudge. Sin comes in by a grudge, and then it can turn into anger, it can turn into bitterness, and if you read down to chapter 4, verse 31, it says actually a whole family moves in. And it's not a good family, all right? It's a family of anger and wrath and every evil behavior, okay? So that's not what we want to do. So here's why. Listen to verse 27. For when you are angry, you give a mighty foothold to the devil, okay? Who gives a foothold to the devil? I know this time you really shouldn't be raising your hand, but it does. You give a foothold to the devil when you're angry and you sin. Okay, and he gets his foot in the door, and man, he just goes sailing in. Now, let's talk about anger. Anger is one of those sins of the heart. Everybody say heart. Okay, bitterness is one of the sins of their heart. Okay, those are sins of the heart, but it is a sin. Okay, and you know what I find? Oftentimes people like to blame God. All right, they blame God for things that come in their life. And God forgives us because we're just young and dumb, right? God forgives us, okay? But listen, he's not the one doing it. He is not the one doing it. I have a good dad. I don't know about yours, but I have a good dad. He only does good things. So he's not doing that, okay? And what happens is we can leave the crack in the door. We can actually open the door and the devil gets a foothold and he just brings all sorts of havoc into our life. Has anybody ever experienced that? Man. Okay. So, and he can begin with messing things up in our life. And one of the ways, just one of the ways he does that is when you walk out of love to people. Oh, Pastor D, don't go there. I am. One of the ways he gets his foot in the door, there's a crack in the door, is when we stop walking in love to people. All righty? Now, I'm going to tell you a story. I am a baby Christian. All right? Praise God. I don't even think I received Jesus, got born again for a full year. It was like under a year. You talk about a baby. And I finally got a Bible. I finally found out Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were the Gospels. I mean, I was just a baby, all righty? And I am in college when this happens, and how many, I can't even remember if I was a junior or senior, but it was the time when they'll elect student body officers, okay? And my friend that I had known since my freshman year, I'm going to change the name to protect the innocent in case he ever listens. His name was Ron, okay? So Ron was my friend for years, and he decided he wanted to run for president. Okay, so he ran, and then he said to my one of my roommates, I lived with a house with five girls, one bathroom. Talk about walking in love, all right? Okay. And so Ron says, hey, Patty, why don't you be vice president? And D, why don't you be treasurer? I was like, okay. Yeah. Nobody ran against us. We were in, okay? So here we are, president, vice president. And one day I'm balancing the checkbook. Okay, now we didn't write a lot of checks. So periodically I check the checkbook. And now I do much better at it. Thank you for going online. I check the checkbook and there is this entry for X amount, $100 being taken out. I was like, what? And I was just born again, so there are probably some other words there. Okay, what? And I go, hey, Patty, because we lived in the house. I go, what is this? And she goes, Dee, I don't know anything about this. And then I'm like, what? What's his name? What? And then, you know, back then they'd send you a piece of paper with a picture. Now you just go online of the check. And it's written to a veterinarian, an animal doctor. And you know, I didn't write that, okay, even to this day. So I'm like, what? So I am, and it's at nighttime. I am just livid. All right. So the next day, guess who I run into on the way to class? The president. All right. And I just launch into him. Hey, what did you do? You wrote a check for $100 to a veterinarian. You stole. I can't believe you betrayed me. And I just went just off the. I'm just a baby Christian. Okay. And he's like, ooh. Okay. He goes, D, I put it back. Check the next statement. I'm like, I don't care. And okay, so not nice, right? And listen, this is what happened right after that. I was consumed with anger, bitterness. The whole family moved in, all right? And things started happening in my life, such as I couldn't sleep. because I'd go to bed thinking about it. I'd get up in the middle of the night thinking about it, and I wasn't, that's all I was thinking about. I get, okay, and then, by the way, it's getting close to finals, and I am not doing good because I am just consumed with my thoughts in this inside of here, okay? And then God starts to speak to me. Now, he didn't speak to me in my heart, my ears. He starts speaking in my heart. And I don't care if you're just born again. God will speak to you. Amen? So he's speaking to me and he goes, you need to forgive him. You did not treat him well. You walked out of love. And then I started having an argument with God. Anybody ever have an argument with God? But what, don't you know what he did? Like, God didn't know what he did, right? And I'm having this argument with God, and he is just pounding me. You need to go to him and forgive him. You did not, you treated him wrongly. You did not treat him well. So, you know, it took a while for me to start receiving what God said, okay? And he, but this is what, you walked out of love to him. You walked out of love to him. You walked out of love to him. I'm like, oh, you're right. So who do I see the next day? Yep, I see him, and he's alone, and usually had his buddy. Oh, gosh, what was that guy's name? Anyway, he usually had his buddies with him, okay? And I go, hey, Ron, can I talk to you for a minute? Can I? Yeah. Now, he's a little scary of me, okay, because we'd pass each other on campus for a couple of weeks, and we'd give him the dagger eyes. So he goes, okay, probably taking steps. And I go, I want you to forgive me for the way I treated you. I wronged you. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay. And then he did the most remarkable thing. He says, I am sorry for what I did. Would you forgive me? What? Okay, so that was wonderful, okay? But listen, guys, that story opened my eyes up on how I had walked out of love. I had walked out of love. Anybody ever do that? Good. We're at the right place today, okay? Now, but I will say the majority of you, this story is like, nah, you know, I never have a problem. But just maybe there's a few of you. This is what we need to hear today. Because, and I always have to say this, you know, sometimes you can't put Humpty Dumpty together again. All right? But maybe you just have to go say, nowadays we'd send a text message, but we don't do that. Those are things you should do in the face. You go to them and say, hey, no negative text messaging ever. Call them. All righty. Okay. So, the reason why I told you a story, because it's real. And, once I heard God, it broke some things in my life and actually closed the door in my life to the devil, because I'd opened it up. So guess what we're talking about today? Forgiveness! Yay! All right. Now, some of you don't have anybody to forgive. Yeah, right? You know, you just got this, okay? But maybe, and better yet, Jesus guarantees there will be offense and what happens afterwards. So you're going to need this. Maybe not today. Today you came in all smiling and kissy and stuff like that. But I guarantee you will need this for the future. So everybody says, for the future? I'm going to listen. All right. So here's our main idea. Write this down. This is the one thing I want you to understand so clearly, like you've never done before. And some of you, it's like the refresher course. But you know, after the refresher course, you get a certificate. Ting! Okay. And others of you are like, oh, that's what I've been missing. So write this down. This is our main idea. We can forgive like God forgives. We can forgive like God forgives. Everybody just say that to yourself. I can forgive like God forgives. I can forgive like God forgives. Okay. Now, probably about 10 years ago, I had this grow group, and it was guys and girls. A lot of times I'll just do all girls and stuff. It was guys and girls. And this guy came up to me. We were just having a discussion, and he says, you know, Pastor D, I can probably forgive anybody who wrongs me. I'm like, where's he going with this? But then he says, I'm not sure I can forgive somebody who wrongs my wife, my children, or children. And I'm thinking, yeah, I understand that. I understand that. And I'm thinking, but I can forgive like God forgives, all right? So, now, I have to say this. There are times that somebody has wronged you so deeply. You know, they've done really bad stuff, okay? You ask forgiveness, and they say yes. But there are times that it is just, there are times that you're going to need a professional. Okay, I have counseled with some women that have been through rape. Okay, and we go through the process of talking about forgiveness, but that's a big one, all right? And I always suggest, and I'd like to say you might need some counseling to walk it through, to keep walking it through, okay? So there are things like that. But guess what? But you, everybody has the ability to forgive like God forgives. Everybody say that. Everybody has the ability to forgive like God forgives. And, you know, I've heard stories. I've heard testimonies. I'll never forget Jack and I were on flying over to an airport not too far from here years ago. And he was meeting up with some ministers. And while we're flying, all of a sudden, there are helicopters all over the place. And the first thing, Jack, what did you do wrong? It's like, don't you love? All right. And so we finally get to this airport and we land. And that was that shooting of a gentleman came into an Amish schoolhouse and shot up these things. So this was like 10 years ago, right? Something like that. And I remember the parents, they interviewed the parents and they said, I forgive. You know why? Because you can forgive the way God forgives us. All right. And you know, all right. So I'm going to give 2 points today. Let's talk about how God forgives. I think that's a good one. How does God forgive? Because if we can forgive, that's my cell phone. Just ignore that. Okay. So, All right. The word forgive actually has three meanings in the Greek. It's like these words put together, okay? If you're taking notes, write this down. Listen to this. God forgives you when you accept Jesus. Number one, he dismisses all the charges against you. He dismisses all the charges against you, all right? Here's the second one. He cancels out your punishment. Guys, we were sinners and we deserve to die. And he cancels out that punishment. Here's the third one. He treats us as if we've never sinned. Woo! He dismisses, he cancels, and he treats us as if we never sinned. Okay? So that's how God forgives us. And guess what? So you and I can forgive like God forgives. You and I can forgive. I'm going to read two very famous scriptures. Well, famous, okay. Scriptures that everybody knows. You can jot them down. I'm just going to read them because you all know this. Isaiah 43, verse 25. Isaiah 43:25. I alone will blot out your sins for my own sake, and I'll never think of them again. Woo, that's wonderful. Here's the other one you probably know. Psalm 103:12. He has removed your sins as far as from the east as for the west. Isn't that exciting? Whoa, okay. So not only does he wipe out your sins, wipe them out, he just doesn't do that. He says he doesn't think about them again. He doesn't think about them again. That's pretty cool. Now, what I want to say is there might be some of you, I just really want you to understand this. Sometimes you just need to forgive yourself. Sometimes you need to forgive yourself. All right? Why? Because he's forgiven you. What did he do? I got to read him again because I forget. He dismissed all your charges, canceled your punishment, treated us as ever, like we never sinned. And you come up and you're doing the repent again over and over and over. And you're going to the Father, repenting again and over for that thing. And he's going, what are you talking about? I don't even remember that. I don't even know if it's not even in the book anymore. What are you doing? Right? Okay. Sometimes you guys just have to forgive yourself because until you do that, you won't get the next part to forgive like God forgave. So everybody say, I forgive. I forgive myself. I forgive myself. Okay. All right. Praise God. So what's our main idea? You can forgive like God forgives. You can forgive like God forgives, all right? Now, I want to talk about two kinds of forgiveness, because until I understood this, I had a hard time just forgiving people, certain times. And these are, I'm going to give you two scriptures out of the New Testament. I just gave them my own names. I kind of made them up, but they're out of the Word of God, all right? So let's talk about this first one. Write this down. Closed forgiveness. Closed forgiveness. That's the first one we're going to talk about, all right? That's when you go to them and you share where they may have offended you, hurt you, wounded you, and they apologize, all right? You know, you go up to them and say, hey, listen, you did this, and you really hurt me by what you did or what you said, and they come back and they go, you know, I can be such a jerk sometimes. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to say that to you. I really wasn't planning on hurting you. I hear what you say. Would you forgive me? Now, how many like that? Yeah. And that's closed because it's closure. Those are wonderful. But you know what I found out? It doesn't happen most of the time. Maybe the people you run with, okay? All righty. So, again, but I do want to say this. Sometimes after, they apologize, there's a trust that has to be developed afterwards. And that's okay. You did the first step, all right? Now, let's talk about the second one of forgiveness. The second one, and again, this one I see happen most of the time, at least to me, I don't know about you. This one's called open forgiveness. Open forgiveness. Write that down. And that simply means they won't apologize. They don't acknowledge that they did anything wrong. What? Right? All righty. Now, it's sort of like you go to them and you say, you know, you did this and it really hurt me. And I am just, you know, I'm really having a hard time. And they come to you like, what are you, crazy? I didn't do anything wrong. I'm not apologizing. That's all you. I didn't do anything wrong. Anybody ever have that happen? Yeah. Don't raise your hand if you did it. Okay? Now, wow. How can you forgive? But what's our main idea? You can forgive like God forgives. So how do you do that? Pray. No, we do pray. Okay, we'll get to that at the end. We're going to go two examples in the New Testament. First one's Jesus. Open up to Luke 23. Luke 23. This is Jesus. Let me give you a background. Luke 23. Jesus is been nailed to the cross. He's been tortured and lied and just, he's nailed to the cross, okay? And they're about ready to throw dice for his clothes. I mean, just horrible, okay? So here he is. And this is what he says. Luke 23:34. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Okay, now, not only did Jesus forgive them, these guys that never repented. Did you hear repentance down there? Anybody say they're sorry down there? No, okay. Listen, and by the way, they will stand before the Lord at judgment, okay? Some days I feel better when I say that, but really, okay. But the real deal is, it's not about them, it's about me. When I forgive, I get free. When I forgive somebody, you remember I was telling you that story when I was just, you know, I was like, it was constantly thinking about it, I couldn't sleep. As soon as I did that, you become free. So everybody say, forgiveness frees me. It does, okay? Now, this is the part that really helped me. The part where he says, they don't know what they're doing, okay? You know, once I saw that really helped me, because I realized sometimes people are just blinded by what they've done. It is. They're just blinded and they're trapped and they're just in the crazy place, okay? But once I saw that, they don't know what they're doing, it just made me easier to forgive people, all right? You know, bless their darling hearts and their stupid brains, okay? Okay. But listen, it helped me forgive. It helped me to forgive, all righty? All right. Now, So Jesus right there shows us that we can forgive like he does, right? We can forgive like God forgives, okay? But some of you are thinking, well, duh, Pastor D, that's Jesus. I expect him to forgive like he is God in the flesh, Jesus. It ought to be easy for him. Anybody ever think about that? It's Jesus, okay? Let me give you somebody else. Turn to Acts chapter 7. This is a guy named Stephen. Stephen is a deacon in a church. And actually, deacons back then, they were just serving food, but a whole lot more. He was serving food, praying for people, anointed from God. He's just a regular human being. He is not God manifested in the flesh. He's just a regular guy, all righty? And he's preaching Jesus, and you know what happens? It ticks everybody off. It just, I mean, crazy ticks them off. And to the point where they stone him. They tie him up and they stake him and they throw stones at him. Okay, now that was normal for punishment. And these weren't little pebbles that you find out in the yard here. These, they say, it took two hands to lift up these stones. And you would throw them on a person. And it would break bones. It would break skulls. It was a very slow and painful type of death. Okay, get the picture? Sometimes you got to get the picture because you're like, oh, those are little pebbles, all right? So listen to this. Acts 7, 59. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. But this is the next part, 60. He fell on his knees and shouted, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. Okay? The only way that happens is it's the grace of God. Now, this grace that we're talking about at this incident is God empowering you to do what you cannot do. Because I would have said, buddy, you're going to stand before Jesus. All right? And he didn't. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's the grace of God. And you can ask God. I think about that incident with the Amish in the schoolhouse. It's only the grace of God. And I know you have to ask. And you may have never been in that situation. I hope you never get in a situation. But if you find yourself in one of those big situations where you just want to, okay, go, God, I thank you for your grace. You empower me to forgive like you forgave. Now, the scripture we just read about Jesus, did he have closure? No. Did anybody repent? No. Stephen, did anybody come up and say, oh, I'm so sorry, I repent, I forgive you? No. There was no closure there, right? No closure whatsoever, okay? But I'm telling you, this is what God's asking us to do. Forgive like God forgave us, and then the best part about it releases you. So picture a chair here with somebody bound up with ropes. I used to think, all right, I'll just forgive them because it would untie them. It wasn't about them. It was me that was tied up because of my attitude, and it would just come back up. So listen, why do we forgive? It'll set you free. It'll set you free. So amen. So everybody say, it'll set me free. All righty. Second point. Here we go. Second point. Forgiveness is a decision. Now, I used to make my kids. It's all right. It's a good beginning. It's like they get in trouble, and then we'd spank them, and they had to say, now what do you have to say? I'm sorry. Okay? I'd make them. And it's a good beginning, okay? But as I got older, I realized it's a decision. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. Everybody go, it is not a feeling. Forgiveness, choosing to forgive is not a feeling. And sometimes you get the feelings. You will, but you get the feelings. Okay, so let me tell you a story. I'm a little bit older in the Lord. A little bit older. And I'm actually volunteering and on a committee. Half the people didn't know Jesus, and then there were half of us that did. And one of the ladies that I knew quite well, she started doing some things. I'm just going to say it was unethical, all right? And it bugged me. And I thought, that's not right. You're a believer. You're doing what? So I did what the Bible says. What is that, Matthew 18, 15? Right? Write that down. If you have an offense, you go to that person. You don't put it on the billboard. You go to them and... or on Facebook, dear Lord, please, okay? So I went to them and I said, hey, listen, can we talk? You know, I've been hearing about what you've said about me and what you've said about this group. And I was a little more mature. And I said, you know, you need to not do that. That's wrong, all right? That's not a good representative of Jesus. Besides, you're hurting the people and you've hurt me. And they said, I don't believe I've done anything wrong. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I'm like, what? Okay, so I'm a little more mature, and we didn't raise voices. Okay, it was nice, civil, all right? So I went to my car, and I said, Lord, I choose to forgive so-and-so, okay? And then I drove away, and about 4 minutes later, I don't even think I got out of the parking lot, I unforgive them. Thank God, do you know what they did? And then I drove by their house because it was on my way home, and I go, okay, God, I re-forgive. And then the next day something happened, and I unforgive. And then I re-forgive, and I unforgive. Anybody ever do the yo-yo? I've done this. I am sorry to say I've done this for a bunch of my life. And then I began to pray. Okay, and you know, I am just walk with the Lord, and if you really tune in, you know right away you better be praying, right? So I'm tuning in, and I'm going, God, you got to help me. God, you got to help me forgive them. You know you forgave me, and I know that I can forgive like you forgave, but you know, God, I keep forgiving and unforgiving and forgiving and unforgiving. God, help me, and I knew that every time I unforgive, took it back, I put the devil had his foot in the door. I left the crack open, and Lord, I want my heart to be tender. I don't want to have bitterness. God! All right, and God gave me the answer. He gave me the answer, and actually it's something I already knew. By the way, if you read your Bible, you'll know this, but I'd never connected it with forgiveness. And this is what he said. Write this down. You must love them, bless them, and pray for them. All right? Love, bless, pray. And turn over to Luke chapter 27, okay? And first I was like, God, I don't know if I can do that. Anybody have those things? God, I don't know if I can do that. And he says, yes, you can. You can love them, you can bless them, and you can pray for them. Let me read you Luke chapter 26, verse 27. This is Jesus talking. I love when he talks, all right? But I tell you who hear. Have you ever talked to somebody and it was like, you know, they didn't hear? And he's going, this is my mama thing, grab them in the chin, you know, listen to me. That's what he's doing there, all right? Well, he's trying to, okay, so I'll read it again. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Okay, he is painting the worst case scenario, right? Enemies, all right? Worst case scenario, okay? And now you may not have an enemy who wronged you. So if he's telling you can love your enemies, don't you think he can somebody love somebody who's just meh, 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 right? And so if it's not a little bit, you still can love, all right? So, ready? So, love your enemies. Keep reading. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Okay? Curse is not a good thing. Like, I curse you. I hope you drop dead. I hope this happens to you. Okay? Not nice things, okay? And keep reading. Pray for those who mistreat you. So, guys, he said, love, bless, pray for them. All righty? Okay, so I'm a little bit older in the Lord then, and I was like, okay. So that night before I went to bed, God bless them. And I will tell you, it was a little mechanical robot thing. I bless you. I bless your wife. Bless your kid. Bless your... Okay. Anybody ever do that? Just that's like when you make your kids do something like that. Okay. Making the kid do this. All right. But I would do that every day. Actually, in my morning time, because when I was praying for my family, I included them. And I said, Lord, bless that person. bless them, bless their spouse, bless their children, bless their finance, bless them coming in, bless them going out. And every day I'd bless that, okay? And the more I did that after a week, it was like second nature, okay? And I actually meant it. Everybody do that, right? I actually meant it. So how do you love your enemies? Write that on your notes. How do you love your enemies? Okay, well, first off, we are told we are to love them, but how do you do that? Some days I'm like, okay, how do I love them? 1 Peter, turn over to 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8. I love the word of God. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other because love covers a multitude of sins. Anybody ever read that? Okay, so what does it mean? Love covers a multitude of sins. Okay. This is what God spoke to me, because this is where I was failing, okay? Love covers a multitude of sin. When you choose to love and forgive, it means zip your lip and don't tell everybody about it. I fail a lot of times. I am, you know, okay? Zip your lip. So like you're in a group and somebody mentions that person, you're like, eyeball roll, you know, you don't know half about that person. Anybody ever? Don't raise your hand if you've done that, all right? How about you go, well, let me just tell you a few things about that person. And listen, so what are you doing? You are not covering them with a multitude of love, okay? You're not doing it. And what you're doing, God spoke to me. Oh, God, he's still speaking to me about this. You are not allowed to retell your story. You write that one down. He said, D, you are not allowed to retell the story, okay? Now, I will tell you that's hard to do. It is, okay? But wait a minute. We love and forgive like God forgave us, and we love and we bless them and we pray for them. We love, we bless them, and we pray for them. So that's how you do that, all righty? Now, again, the most remarkable thing happened, not necessarily to them, happened to me. Healed my heart. It will heal your heart. And you think you're doing fine? Just someone tell you how much you stink if you're doing that, okay? Okay, it healed my heart. It healed my attitude, all right? And it shut the door. Shut the door, all righty? So, basically, it sets you free. Everybody say freedom. Freedom's good. Oh, I'm telling you, freedom, 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 okay? Now, I want to tell you again, love, bless them, pray for them, okay? In the beginning, it's like, Luke, you posted a picture of that donut stuck in your throat. It's stuck, all right? I love that. It was so cute, okay? It's just hard, all right? But you keep doing it. Bless, Father, I bless them. Father, I do not curse them. I bless them. I bless their family, their relationships. Father, I pray blessings over their children, that they would excel, that they are guarded and protected. Father, I just bless them in their workplace. If they own a business, Father, I pray that you just bless them and prosper them. And you know what it does? Shoot, it sets you free. It's just beautiful, okay? Okay, because it's all about really fixing me, fixing you, cleaning you, okay? And shutting the door, okay? So I want to close real quick. And some of you guys, you know this. You've been doing this. That's high five, okay? Some of us, we're just going to have to, you're going to deal with this in the future. I hope you make it to the end of the parking lot, okay? But you will deal with this in the future. It just is, listen, we live in an imperfect world with imperfect people. And some of them are blinded, right? So you're going to have to know this. So I hope you took notes, okay? But I really believe that this is a start of freedom in some of y'all. And what you really do is you push the door shut and keep the devil out of your life. Amen? Amen? Okay, so how about I pray for you? Aren't you excited you can forgive like God forgives? Yeah! Aren't you just excited that God gives you the grace? Okay, ask for it. God, I need your grace to do this. Aren't you excited? All right. And, you know, I'd love to say you're all going to have that nice closure, sweet, forgiveness thing going on. But if you don't, I am going to forgive, cover a multitude of sin. Okay, just bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, for some of us, this is a big moment. Father, Lord, you're already speaking to hearts. And I thank you. You speak to our hearts, Lord, where we have just been really blinded ourselves and left the crack open. Some of you, you've walked out of love to people, all right? And it's time to maybe go to them or write them a letter. I think you should always go to them and say, hey, I'm sorry the way I treated you. I'm sorry for what I said. Some of you, it's just time to release. Release them so you can be released, all right? And listen, guys, how do you do it? You love them. You pray for them, and you bless them. And I guarantee, really God does, it's his word, but I thought I'd just catch it too. I guarantee it'll set you free. It'll set you free. And, you know, I know every single person who sits in this place or hears today's message, you are loved by God. You have been called by him. He has given you a calling different than anybody else. All right, and it's time to shut the door so you can walk in your gifts and your callings. You have a destiny, and it's time to walk in it. And some of you have been frustrated. Well, you know, God spoke to me a long time ago, or what am I doing here? I don't know. It's time to just, you know, examine yourself. Amen? Amen. And let's live big. My brother said, I'm living large. You should walk out every day. I'm living large. And the way you live large is to forgive. Amen? Amen. So one more invitation here. If you're here today and you just had pullings on your heart and you're like just going, I hear about how we are to love, but I don't think I've ever known the love of God. I've never known the love of God. If that's you, I want to tell you, today's the day. And the way you know the love of God is you open the door to Jesus and simply say, Jesus, would you come into my life? And when he comes into your life, he changes you from the inside out. He puts a new life inside of you, a new kind of love, so that you can love like he does. So if you're here today, I just want to ask you, have you ever done anything with Jesus? Because someday you'll stand before him and he will ask that question. And I just want to say he makes it so beautiful, so simply. He simply says, would you ask me to come into your life? He said, I am the way. What is it? I am the truth. What is it? I am the life. Anyone who comes to the Father has to go through me. In me and through me. And he said, if you call on my name, I will save you. All right. So I just want to ask, would you like to have that love, have that Jesus come into your life and change your life? Just raise your hand. Everybody, nobody's looking around. All right. Sometimes I forget to open my eyes too. Okay. I'm not the only one. Amen. Amen. All right. So this is what I'd like you to do. Many of you have already asked Jesus into your life, right? How about we all say this together out loud with them? All right. Now, what happens when you pray a prayer like this? Man, a miracle happens. And you may not feel it. You may not get goosebumps. You may not start crying. But God says, if you ask his son Jesus to come into your life, there is a miracle, and he will come and live and abide in you forever. All right. So, but all you have to do is just pray it from your heart. So how about everybody say this? Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he is the son who sets us free. I thank you that he died for me, for my sins and the sins of the world. And today, Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I give you my life. I take you as my Savior, and I will follow you all the days of my life. Jesus, be my Lord. Amen. Amen. If you prayed this for the first time, woohoo! They say they're having a party in heaven. It does. It says all of heaven celebrates. It's just so cool. And you are his forever. And you have a new life. So if you have prayed that for the first time, would you come and tell me, all right? Everybody else, stand up. Praise the Lord. Do you feel full and fat? Woo! All right. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Father, I thank you. We are blessed. We are blessed coming in. We're blessed going out. Everything we set our hands to, we prosper in, and we are a light and a blessing to the world. In Jesus' name, y'all have a wonderful week. Put your masks on and go out and hang out in the parking lot. I'll be right out. Amen. Amen.